Yes. What do you guys think? The new pens. Thank you all for taking some pens home. Listening to London last week, they're fancy pens. I like them. Today's message is entitled Departing Dry Seasons. Departing Dry Seasons. Departing Dry Seasons. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 7. That's the scripture we're in today. Departing Dry Seasons. In Jeremiah, it says, this is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But, I just love when there's a but in there. It's just, you're like, okay. Good. It's not going to be all bad. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. I think one of the interesting takeaways, before I even dive into the scripture, is God identifies dry seasons are a type of curse. Is that crazy to think about? That's a curse when you're in a dry season. Blessing is when you are not in a dry season. The scripture gives real practical insight into what a dry season is, how you got there, and how to get out of there. So we're going to spend a little bit of the message understanding what leads us to dry seasons. What leads us into these moments of our lives? Like I would say probably all of us have been in a dry. I know I've been in a dry season before. I know I have. I know I got myself into that dry season. I'll own up. I'll be a big boy and say that. But it definitely feels like a curse when you're in a dry season. Number one. The cause of a curse. This is how you find yourself in a dry season. The Bible really just points it out. It's super basic. Jeremiah 17, verse 5, one more time. This is what the Lord says, cursed, cursed. This is how you find yourself in a dry season, is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. There's three things there. You better bet those are my 3 points. A, misplaced trust. Cursed is the one who trusts in man. This is kind of interesting because it doesn't just talk about, that word isn't just pointing to another person. Did you notice that? It's actually referring to mankind, anyone who is a person. This is not just, I'm putting my trust in you because I like what you said and I just need some encouragement, but it's actually referring to mankind as in, you yourself too. You can enter a dry season when you put your trust in another person or you put your trust solely in yourself. Like, I got this. I can get myself out of it. I'll be good. God's like, oh, dry season alert. You know, it's when you put your trust in people and you too are a person. Sometimes we can have this confidence that can lead us into dry places. I feel like this is my come to Jesus moments for me personally a lot of times. God's like, oh, you can do that on your own? We'll see. With things that are usually pretty simple for me to get, God will just all of a sudden throw some hiccups along my way to say, you need to trust in me, not in your own skills. Your skill's not going to get you there. I need to get you there. Trusting in humanity, trusting in people, will lead you to dry places. It's really, really interesting. And number B, letter B, awkward. The con artist. Con artist. Who draws strength from mere flesh. Who draws strength from mere flesh. I looked up the word strength. Do you know it can be translated as two things? One is strength, and two is confidence. Is that interesting? one who draws confidence from flesh. I read this quote by Walter Kern. It said, "The reason con artists get away with what they get away with is their victims are ashamed of their own blindness and their own gullibility, and they tend to just quietly go away." Sometimes we realize how silly and ridiculous we are because we put all of our confidence in the wrong thing, and then we're so embarrassed to admit it that we just stay there. And that's how, when we get into dry seasons in our life, we stay there longer than we should because we're so embarrassed. It's like, I can't believe I fell for that lie. I can't believe that that thing that I thought was going to happen didn't happen, and I'm too embarrassed to admit it, so I'd rather just camp out in this dry season than own up to it and get some help to get out of this dry season. Sometimes our confidence will keep us in a dry season longer than we should ever be there. And a lot of times God wants to use the dry season to perpetuate us and our love towards him so we can grow in our faith and learn more. But instead, our confidence becomes a pride issue, and we'll stay there. So cursed is the one who trusts in man. When you place your trust in humanity, who draws confidence from flesh. That's the idea, that whole concept of, man, you know what? I know I can do this. I got this. I'll take care of this. I'm gonna good to go, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden you're not good to go. You're not ready, and you fail miserably, and you're so embarrassed about it. You'd rather just not tell anyone and go into isolation and just live out your days there. That's how you get into dry seasons. C, letter C, not number C, just so you know. Going back to the verse, whose heart turns away from the Lord. See, it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. Whose heart turns away from the Lord. I always find God interesting. Like his brilliance of just how clever he is in writing the Bible. It just blows my mind. He's seriously above any other writer that has ever walked this planet. Because the fact that God would illustrate our love represented by a heart is really mind-boggling, especially in this verse. And whose heart turns away from the Lord, the heart is part of the vital organ structure. There are five vital organs. And out of the vital organs, all except for the heart can actually be cut in half and removed out of your body. And you could keep on living just fine. Your brain is a vital organ. Half of your brain can actually be removed out of you, and you can keep on living. Your lungs, one lung could be taken out. One kidney could be taken. Your liver, half your liver can be removed. Your heart is the only vital organ in your entire body. You cannot cut your heart in half and keep on going. It's all or nothing when it comes to your heart. And God has the audacity to throw out this little nugget so that in the 21st century we can think that, wow, God's really smart. When we have the information age, we can find wisdom at the drop of a finger, you know, instantly. And God has the audacity to say, hey, your love towards me, I want it to be like your heart. Where you can't have part of your heart over here and part of your heart over here. It's all or nothing. If one part gets cut off to sin, you're done. And that's the audacity God has to hear. Whose heart turns away from the Lord, because God understands that your heart can't have a little bit over there and a little bit here. He understands that if your heart goes this way, it's no longer with him. And that leads to dry seasons. He's saying your entire heart, everything you are, needs to be pointing towards God. And that'll get you out of a dry season. But at the moment your heart's over here, dry season starts happening. And you know the worst part about being in a dry season? It's like kind of off topic. It's not only is it like frustrating, annoying, it's miserable, everything hurts. There's like 10 rocks in your shoe instead of one. It's just miserable. But then because we're guilty and because we're embarrassed by the confidence that we got there and all of that stuff, sometimes it's hard to admit, ask for forgiveness, because our heart is so hardened because we're ashamed and embarrassed that we're actually there in the first place. When it seems like such a beginner rookie mistake, it doesn't matter what season and how long you've been a Christian, we can all find ourselves in dry places. But what it comes down to is a heart issue. We need all of our heart to love Jesus. All of our heart to love God. So then, number two, the symptoms of a curse. The symptoms of a curse. One third of this scripture is talking about how to get a curse. The second third of this scripture is talking about, well, in case you don't realize you're in a dry place, let me illustrate it so you can see if you are in a dry place right now. Sometimes you don't even know you're in a dry place. You just think you're just in a bad attitude for no reason. You might be in a dry place. Number two, the symptoms of a curse. Jeremiah 17, verse 6 says, that person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. A, dried up in a dry place. Dried up in a dry place. I work in marketing. I work at the collection. I work in the second floor right there. If you ever walk by and you see this random balcony sitting on the side of a building, that's me. Give me a call, shoot me a text, and I'll wave out the window or something. But coming back from the collection, it's a long commute home. Just kidding. Hop on the freeway. I don't even merge over. I just stay on the exit and get right back up. You take that. I know Nakia has the longest. She probably has the longest commute. Huh. Probably.
Choosing joy.
Choosing joy. Choosing your middle name. There's this moment on the freeway. I see it every day, and I don't know why, but for the last 5-6 months, I look at the same bush. I don't know why. It just intrigues me. It's just like Moses. I get on the freeway for a hot minute and then get off. But during my route of 10 seconds, there's this just giant dead dry bush in the riverbed. It has not grown in 6 months. It is just dry and dead, and it's, I don't know, I think about it on my route home. It's just bizarre. It's been there a long time. The same one?
Since 1972.
That same bush? Well, that's hanging in there in a dry place. So so my view is in the car. I look over, and there's like, you know, there's a slope, and there's just this giant dry bush chilling in dry place in a river. Bed, which is kind of funny and ironic. It's sitting there in a dry place, and just up over the edge, it's this new development that's coming in. It's this like prosperous development. It's this new shopping center. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's being leveled. There's water being poured everywhere. They're bulldozing. They're building. There's streets. There's like one random lamppost there. It's like it's really coming together, and it's like this. It's such a juxtaposition. All this life is going on, and just over the edge, it's this dry, just dry, deserty place that looks like the biggest tumbleweed chilling out, dead. And that's the picture here. Sometimes when we're in a dry place, we can just feel so dry, so dead, think that nothing is growing, nothing is prosperous, no life is happening, and just over the edge, it's all the things growing. But we can't see it because we're stuck in a dry place. That's what's happening here. Dried up in a dry place. Just isolated enough to not be part of everything else growing around it. Sometimes when we're in a dry place, the first inclination we have when we wake up in the morning is, I just want to keep sleeping. I just want to hit snooze a million more times. I don't want to go to church today. I don't want to go to community. I just don't. That's a symptom of a dry place, my friends. When we don't want any liquid source of life to infuse our dry lives. That bush has been hanging around since whatever year Craig just said, 1972. Okay, I was way off. Just kidding, Craig. I know you're not from the 40s. B, always thirsty. Always thirsty. I kind of bled into this point on the last one, but always thirsty. The verse is really interesting on this one. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will not see prosperity when it comes. Have you ever met someone when a million things are going good everywhere else and they're still able to just say something negative and you're like, what are you even talking about? You just got this. Why are you so negative right now? They're in a dry place. They can't see prosperity when it comes. The symptom of this curse is you can't see the good things happening around you. You can't perceive it. Another way of looking at it is, it'll rain, but you're doing nothing with it to last the race before you. I thought it was really interesting. I was doing kind of like a micro study on the Thomas fire and just how it spread so fast. Do you know one of the reasons, not that it started, but the reason why it just went out so suddenly was because we had so much rain just before the fire. Right. That was the cause. We had water, and because we had so much water, the fire spread so fast. The reason why is because for 2 weeks we had so much rain causing all these dead, dry things to spring to life, use all their resources, and kind of flourish. All the dead, dry things came to life momentarily, and when the water source stopped, they just went back to the same position they were at. Meaning, they were this big, dead and dry, water came, they grew a little bit, didn't know what to do with the water except for infuse it to grow outward, and then died and dried up again this size. They went from this size to this size. And because it had this rapid growth, all of a sudden, there was no root structure to keep soaking in more water. They were dry and dead, and the fire was able to go through so fast. It's really interesting. It's kind of like Christians sometimes. Like Christians that don't know how to utilize what God is speaking to us about. We get super excited by a camp or a conference or whatever. We're supercharged by some positive influence that we have, and we're like, yes, I'm on fire, I'm so excited, blah, blah, blah. It's like this downpour of rain. We're super excited, and we overextend ourselves, not putting down any roots when we should be putting down roots, and all of a sudden we dry out almost immediately, so that when the enemy attacks, it's like that fire just can knock us over real fast. It's a parallel thing that's happening here. Always thirsty, because in dry places, we don't think to put down roots. C, permanently camping. The last part of verse 6 says, they will dwell. They will dwell. Dwell is the key word here. There's a lot of good key words, but dwell is the trigger word here. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. C, permanently camping. We are not intended to permanently camp in a tent. A tent is not intended for a permanent structure, right? If you stayed in a tent 24/7, it's going to wear down real fast. A tent is temporary camping, just like in a dry season. We're not meant to be there forever. We're not supposed to stay in all of our dryness and be like, oh, life is so bad. Remember, it's a campsite. You might be there, but it's temporary, and you need to pick yourself up and get out of there. It's not permanent. We are meant to live a life not in parched places, but in flourishing fields. So how do we depart dry seasons? I feel like I'm just getting to the title of the message, and we're already two-thirds of the way through. That's okay, though. How do we depart dry seasons? How do we take down our tent? We've been camping in a dry desert, a parched place. It's time for flourishing fields. The scripture really lays out a train track, if you will, or tracks to get there. It's really basic, but a lot of times when we're in dry places, we don't want to listen to reason. We don't want to listen to what is being said, that how to get out of it. Number three, confidently trust in God. That's pretty much it. Place your confidence, place your trust in God. Verse 7 and 8, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Don't mistake it. This isn't just the symptoms of what it means to be blessed. Don't mistake that. These are actually action items that are also symptoms. These are things that we're required to do to leave dry places. A, rooted by the river. Sounds nice. But, oh, a tree by a river. It sounds so nice. Yeah, that's what God's telling us to do. We need to be rooted by the river. Jesus constantly says what the river is. It's the flowing river of life. What God speaks to us, what God flows through our life. It's the everlasting, it's everything that Jesus has to offer. Rooted by the river. Rooted is a trigger word. Rooted. We're there to be planted. That's a long-term kind of thing. That's not a short-term thing. I can't sidetrack. We're too late in the day to sidetrack right now. Rooted by the river. I love this part. It means not dependent on what the earth and soil are able to provide you, but dependent on what the stream of life can provide you. See, a lot of plants flourish and die by whatever the earth can give them, but God is not calling us to flourish and die by what the earth can give us. He's saying you can flourish by what I give you. That's why he's saying rooted by the river. B, fearlessly face fire. Verse 8, it does not fear when heat comes. When you have trials, that's what fire is. When you have frustrations, that's what fire is. You can have an attitude of, oh, this is it. Or you can have an attitude of, you know, I'm not going to have fear in this situation. It's going to be okay. Did you know forest fires are actually a natural thing? You know, it actually helps the forests. It actually helps the trees. And anything that's living, it actually helps it. Anything that's dead dies away so that the soil can replenish all its nutrients, so that the tree can keep growing. It's really interesting to think about. Fires are not a bad thing in a forest. They benefit the trees. We are called to be like a tree. We have life in us, and no frustration, no torment, nothing bad can kill us. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Now it doesn't say, I can't sidetrack, guys. I just need to stay on track here. Letter C, assisted attitude. Out of all the points, this one was my favorite from verse 8. Its leaves are always green. Its leaves are always green. That's assisted attitude. Its leaves are always, what does that even mean? The leaves in this illustration on a tree is actually attitude. That's what's illustratively speaking out here. Your attitude. Because a leaf does two things. A leaf is what other people can see and take beauty in and see what's really happening with that tree. But it also absorbs the sunlight and has photosynthesis to keep the tree moving forward and growing. Your attitude is how you perceive what God is speaking to you about, just like a leaf with photosynthesis. And a leaf is also your attitude of when other people are looking at you, they can see how alive you are or how dead you are. Your attitude does crazy things in the kingdom of God. It is the outward appearance of how people perceive God through you, and it is also how you filter what God is speaking to you about. If you have a negative attitude and you're always in a bad mood, you will filter what God speaks to you into that sense. But if you're like, you know what? I'm going to believe God today. I'm going to choose to wake up, and I'm going to choose that God's going to speak to me, and I'm going to choose this can bring life. Your attitude is a filtration system for what God speaks to you, and it will bring abundant life to you that day. Isn't that cool? The leaves are your attitude. Oh, I need to finish the thought on this. See, that's not it. That's only half of it. The only way for a tree to have green leaves, the reason why leaves turn orange and brown and die off is because it takes all the nutrients and hoards it to sustain. But in this scripture, it says, no. You can't hoard what little you've gotten out of fear because you're afraid no other nutrients will come. You have to stick with it, even in tough times, and put your nutrients and everything you got to having a positive attitude, even in tough times. When you might not be hearing God as much today, you still got to put your resources to having a good attitude. Just like a tree. Trees in Ventura stay green much longer than other parts of the country. Tom and April Brown had some pictures up of trees, and it was just, you know, all the yellows and browns, and this was like weeks ago. Uh-huh. And I was like, our trees are behind the times on this one. They're always green. It's because the trees are still getting all the nutrients. See, if we're like the tree in a sense, we got to make sure when times are tough, keep putting towards our attitudes. Because it's how we'll hear God, and it's how people will see God through us. All right. D, wonder without worry. Verse 8, picking up, its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. It has no worries in a year of drought. It has no worries in a year without drought. D, wonder without worry. See, wonder with worry is, I wonder what's going to happen. I wonder what's going to happen. We need to start to see what's, and all of a sudden you get so anxious and worked up, and it's, you're filled with so much worry. Sometimes he will worry just to worry. Yeah. It's like, oh, I hope I'm not going to worry. What? You are worrying that you're not going to be worrying. Wonder without worry. Wonder. Because God wants us to have wonder of how he will come through. Man, I don't see that it's working out, God, but I wonder how you're going to show up because you always do and you are faithful. See, that's wonder without worry. Mm-hmm. Wonder with worry is, man, I don't know how this is going to happen. We better start doing something. No, that's putting your confidence in yourself, not putting your confidence in God. Mm-hmm. God, I wonder how you're going to show up today. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to believe in it. It kind of hurts a little bit, but I know it's going to happen. That's how you get out of a dry season. You wonder without worry. And E, last point, forever fruitful. Going back to verse 8, never fails to bear fruit. Never fails to bear fruit. You'll be fruitful in all seasons when your strength and confidence is in God. It might not look like the fruit you were expecting. It might not be what all you had in mind. But God's promise is you will be fruitful in and out of season because your strength is in him. It's kind of a play on words, and I'm going to wrap it up here. I know I went 2 extra points today, and everyone's feeling it. Just kidding. It's a play on a fig tree's fruit. That's what's really happening here. They're talking about a fig tree. I don't know if you know how a fig tree works, but in this region, a fig tree would produce fruit 3 times a year, but in each time it would produce fruit, the fruit would stay on its branches through the whole year. It would grow fruit, and it would stay, and then 1/3 of the year, it'd start growing fruit again, and then that would stay. It was fruitful all the time. It didn't mean that it was going to populate fruit every single day. It meant that it could grow fruit, and it will last, and it will grow fruit, and it will last, and it will grow fruit, and it will last. So it'll always have fruit in its branches. That's how God works with us in seasons. You know, it's like you invest into someone so much and you're discipling them and you're planting seeds and you might not see it right away. But someday the fruit will come from that. But you got to imagine, timeline-wise, you're planting seeds here and you'll see fruit here. But over here you planted seeds and you'll see fruit here. And before that, you'll see fruit here. They're all timeline adjusted. So it's not, hey, I invested all this time in this person. Where's the fruit? And God's saying, no, you're going to start seeing fruit from that thing now. And this person, you'll see down the line. And that we can't get discouraged by that. He's saying you will be forever fruitful if you're faithful with God. If you keep your strength in him and your confidence in him, you will see fruit. It's not going to be in the timeline that you expect because God needs the time to work in that other person. Be fruitful. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I just lift us all up today. That if we're headed towards a dry season, we would recognize it and we'd start placing our trust and our attitude in you. Maybe some of us are already in a dry season and we've been there for so long. God, remind us the instructions you put in your word to get out of a dry season. Lord, change our attitudes today. Let us start seeing the fruit today. Let us gain confidence in you and not in ourselves and not in the world. God, move us forward into this refreshing field that you have for us, where the stream is flowing by and we can plant our roots deep and you can supply all of our needs and everything that you have in mind for us, we'd be able to live out, God. Let us not be discouraged. Let us not give up, but let's move forward. I love you so much, God. In your name, amen.